About the corona. I feel like it's on everyone's mind, and certainly on my mind. Other people are like following the news. I gotta believe everyone is. In Italy today, they quarantined 16 million people until April 1st. That's a remarkable, scary number for a long time. 3 weeks, 16 million people. That's, you know, how big is London?
10 million.
Can you realize what that would do to, you know, to England if they quarantine that plus London? Imagine, like, the whole north is, you know, Israel's doing a great job. This should continue. We should continue. People are complaining, and some are complaining it's too machmir, and some are too mekel, and who knows what, you know what I mean? Everyone's optimistic that one day there'll be a cure, and one day the summer will come along, and they'll solve it, like the, who knows? So just a few quick thoughts. The first thought I want to share is that we don't have everything worked out. We don't know everything. And therefore, even before I share with you anything that may sound like I know what I'm talking about on any level, I want to start off by letting you know that's not true. We don't know God's plan. We don't know why he does what he does. We don't know why he does and implements and punishes and rewards and when and how. And there's a lot about the Rabbanu Shel Olam that we don't understand. And that's for a few reasons. Number one, he's infinitely greater than us. It's very difficult for the finite to understand the infinite. Number two is it's important we realize that gap. That's critical for Hashkafta Torah. It's important to realize the difference between man and God. If you understood God fully, he wouldn't be a worthwhile God to worship. And if you had God fully figured out, so like, it means like you're on par with him. All you have to do is grow a little bit, and then you've kind of surpassed him. So I don't really know why. I'm not going to suggest why. I know there's why the corona is doing what it's doing or why. Anything, I'm not going to suggest why, but I'll share a few quick thoughts. Two basic paths to have in mind. One thought, that's what the Rambam writes, if ever there's a tzara that comes up, you should introspect. There's a worthwhile chance to introspect. Is it the reason why? I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. Certainly could be. Whatever the introspection conclusion you have is, could be, but I want to introspect together for a minute or two, then I want to talk about just like humanity at large in a minute afterwards. For starters, in terms of introspection, in a certain sense, you know, it's easy for us as Westerners to think we've totally conquered the world, solved all medical issues, overconfidence in many, many areas. You know, B'li'ayin hara, most of us don't have to worry about anything. Certainly the community and the world we come in. And even though the people starving literally to death every single day, that number far surpasses the coronavirus. For some reason, for most of the world, it didn't impact. There's a couple, maybe even more than a couple, a number of smaller, poverty-stricken countries, and kind of we just like, probably incorrectly so, not probably, certainly incorrectly so, just allow ourselves to move on. And but here's a chance, in a certain sense, the smallest little tiny thing has the power to bring down everything. I mean, the world economy is beginning to feel it, and it's going to bleed. If we'll pick ourselves up quickly, and I imagine we will. But in a certain sense, there's this, you know, part of the hysteria is that it's uncontrollable. And I think it's the uncontrollability of it far more than the danger of it, which is why it's on everyone's mind. I mean, if you think about the numbers, they're unbelievably passive. There's 26 people in Israel who've been diagnosed with corona. That's like not very serious at all. There's about 400 in America. They've been diagnosed, not very serious at all. The disease killed between 2 and 3%, which is twice as bad as the regular flu. The flu has killed more than twice as many people this winter than corona has killed. I think there's more people, about 10 or 15 times more people who starve to death every single day. Death. Fatality. I'm sorry, fatal. Conclusions. Because of starvation every day than there has been all winter long from the corona. I don't think it's the danger. The corona is not a deadly, deadly disease. The reason why people are freaking out is because it's uncontrollable. And then I think the Musar Haske a little bit is, again, I'm not saying this is why God did it. I'm not saying it's not. I have no idea why. But in a certain sense, the more we lose control of our lives, and that manifests itself in both being quarantined, that manifests itself in both not being able to just know with full confidence that doctors are going to care for me. There's a Musar Haskel there, which is we're not fully in control of everything. We're not fully in control of everything. And partially that's a message in and of itself. And number two is the Rabbanu Shel Olam is. There's two separate messages, but both important. One is we're not in control of everything. Leads say there wouldn't be a bonus shalom, shouldn't have so much gaiva. And because there is, he's in control. I think that's an important message in terms of what there is to take from this. There's more to be said, but certainly the lack of control that this disease has showed mankind and the Western world, I think, has been very, very frightening. People did not realize that we could lose control so quickly of so much. And even though you could always get cancer, yeah, but, you know, that was one thought I wanted to share with everyone. In other words, sometimes the fear, the panic comes from a lack of control far more than it does the danger and the deadliness of this disease. Again, the disease kills 1 or 2%, 2% of the people. I think since then, there's been, I saw on Fox News a little while ago, there was it kind of metamorphosized the disease. It went from an M version and an S version. I don't know, didn't see that much around there, but the second version is much less deadly. Additionally, most people who are being killed, people with serious respiratory issues and above the age of 70, you put that all together, it's not really dangerous. It's like a bad flu for a little bit, then you get past it and you move on, which is, I think even in China, where 80,000 people had contracted it, I think some like 50,000 have moved past it, are already doing better, 3,000 have died, 2,000 in China, 2,500, whatever the number is. I think a lot of it is just a lack of, like, it kind of shook us. So you think you're in full control of everything and you're aware of everything. Okay, if you get cancer, heart attack, things you can do to try to avoid it, and, you know, it takes time. And this kind of just, like, shook us. Like, wow, that was one thought. The second thought is, I guess, to feel sympathy and empathy, hopefully sympathy, for people who are everything from struggling with it, critical conditions, the world at large, more specifically Klal Yisrael, but both. To feel a sense of pain when the world suffers, to feel a sense of struggle when the world is struggling. There's going to be a lot of serious negative consequences, and as much as we can help out, that's obviously a good thing, but just to feel pain, to feel sorrow, to feel sadness. Everyone saw something horrific happen, so you read the news, and 4 minutes later, you kind of move on with your life. Part of the security and comfort we have in life, and there's a deep religious value of feeling sad when sad things happen, of struggling when there's bad things that are going on in the world. And I guess that plays out in people who are sick, people who are quarantined, people who are related to those who are sick, people who are scared. In a certain sense, to feel for, to daven for as much as we can for, you know, for these type of people, is our tefillah going to work? Maybe yes, maybe no. Could it work? Absolutely. Is the likelihood of you davening one quick kapitel tilim solve the whole problem? My body's against it. It doesn't seem to be the way Kadosh Baruch Hu operates the world. Doesn't mean it's impossible. Certainly to different levels and who and how and how far reaching and how quickly there's a solution and how. I do think tefillah works. I believe in that. You know, Talmud once asked me, Rabbi, why is it that, you know, if we believe in tefillah, and tefillah works, so why is it that religious people don't live longer lives? Presumably they pray and pay for their lives, so they should live longer. Sam thought about it, went online, checked it out. Turns out religious people do live longer. I checked it up in America, in the world, and in Israel. Like all three, I don't know the exact numbers. In America, something like, you know, 5%, 7% longer lives, which is like substantive, you know. The life expectancy in America for a male who was not religious was like 66, and for a religious male was like 71. Some number that was like substantive. So I came back to the guy and I said to him, you know, I got news for you. It does. You know, like, your theory was if tefillah should work, we should have these conclusions. Again, here are the conclusions. He responded by saying, well, probably not. It's probably just, you know, a sense of community and a sense of meaning and psychological reasons. And I said to him, you may be right, those are part of them, but it's unfair to form the equation of, if God exists, I should have these results. And we don't have them. Turns out we do have them. Okay, it's true, but still not. His basic equation was, if the results are the same, you know, for religious and non-religious people, it's because God doesn't exist. And if they're different, it's for any other reason besides God's existence. And I was like, it's like a false. I think sometimes we have this sense of, like, you know, does tefillah really work? It does. Sometimes God says no. What's the reason why this? I know why. It could be God has overarching power. But we should be davening. We should definitely be davening. We should be, obviously, taking safety precautions. The balance of ishtadlus and bitachon is certainly one that we subscribe to. And I don't know, I had another Tvartar prepared, but I wanted to at least address this issue. It was on my mind a lot recently. I imagine on people's minds also. And in a certain sense, even just knowing how to hashkafically handle something, even if it makes it no better, makes me a little more at ease. I don't think we have any more control over the disease now that you walked out of this little sicha or shmooze, unless you can start washing your hands more, sneezing into your elbows opposed to onto your hands. Okay, if we can be matzlich in that, that's great. If anyone wants to read by Fink's article, I put it on my Twitter feed today, this morning. I thought it was a very nice article. Fink's, people know he's a very fine Talmud Chacham, the rabbi of New Rochelle. The younger of New Rochelle, he's not just originally quarantined, now he's infected with the virus. And he wrote a very nice little, I don't know, 4 or 5 paragraphs, which I thought was very inspiring, very uplifting. I was interested. Feel free to, if you can Google it, you can find it on my Twitter feed. And one of his major points, we should pull together as a community, even though we're apart. I'm kind of rephrasing it a little bit. I could just be texting, I'm with you, and I care about you. I see you're at home, want to make sure you're not bored. There's 4 or 5 Talmidim, there's parents who have quarantined family members, probably even more now. That was last week. I would imagine the number's probably closer to about 20, 25 Talmidim. Just out of curiosity, anyone know, does anyone, raise your hand if you don't have any family members quarantined.
You don't
have no family members quarantined.
Close friends count?
I don't know, whatever, I guess the point. So, my sister was quarantined for 2 days. Right, 2 days, good question. She was in the, whatever it was, she was in the restaurant with that lady who was walking around. Really sent out wherever she was. So 12 days until 14-day quarantine. She's like, oh, look at that. She got the text. So she quarantined herself for 2 days. Thank God she's okay. I have nieces back in Westchester quarantined. And the number's only going up. Again, Italy, 16 million people are quarantined. I don't know any of the people. I don't know any Italians at all. We should be davening for them. We should be davening for Klal Yisrael, even more so, but for everyone. We should be supportive and positive and as many precautions, safety precautions as possible, washing our hands and sneezing into our elbows and, however these things go. And Mirtz Hashem, no one knows what the future has in store. If you would have asked me yesterday, would I be surprised if all of Italy closes down? I would have said yes, and here we are. I don't know what it's going to be tomorrow. I don't know if it's be a week from now. I don't know. My lack of knowledge is somehow comforted by the fact that most people don't know, the fact that disease is not deadly, and the fact that you can't do anything, you can't be expected to do anything above your control. And therefore, we should learn as best as we can, daven as best as we can. If there's anything we can do more helpful than that, let's do it. We should have a good week. Shabbat Tov.